Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hopps, and our vision is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture. Today is a special edition of the Voice of Destiny Show, Couples for Destiny, and I want to welcome my co-host, Juanita Harris, an anointed life coach that has an excellent word from God to encourage us to be, do, and have everything that God has destined for us. And Juanita, I want to welcome you back to the show today. We are still having our conversation about the issues of problems, something that every couple, whether they're strong or they're weak, seems to have as an element or experience or phenomenon in their marriage life. And God wants us to have wisdom about how to solve it. And I know God has been speaking some things to your heart, and one of the questions that we haven't talked about, I'm going to allow you to introduce, about problems, is something that I think all of us need of understanding. And you want to introduce that question for us today.
Yes, the question is, why do all couples have problems? All couples have problems. And my first thought is all couples have problems because we come together as incomplete people. And sometimes we come into relationships with our issues, and we try to resolve them by connecting with another person. So and some people are in denial that there is a problem, so they just sweep it under the rug until the rug starts floating away, and then they try to catch it and find out what is this, and it's the elephant in the room.
Well, 26 years ago, I thought when me and Millie got married, we were going to have a perfect marriage because we had perfect love for each other. We just assumed that our marriage is going to be perfect, like all those other couples in church who we knew had perfect marriages, and we did not really realize that this was something that we needed to be armed for. I believe when we went to pre-marriage counseling, our counselors tried to arm us for it, but we was like, we don't need that stuff because we have perfect love. We're never going to have those challenges in our marriage. But this is something that catches many couples by surprise. But God has made provisions for us in His Word to help walk us through the difficulty or the phenomenon that is defined by Webster's as a matter or situation regarded as something that's unwelcome or harmful or needing to be dealt with or overcome in our marriage. Every one of us as couples of strong, weak, or those that are in the medium, we all have to deal with this phenomenon. And so God has given us some help today. Could you introduce the help that God has given us today to help us to deal with this incredible phenomenon that most couples need to face and to solve?
I'd be glad to introduce to you Dr. John R. Payton, who is a pastor of Reconciliation Community Church in Manassas, Virginia. That's the community in the Washington, D.C. metro area. He's a certified Christian counselor and family therapist, and he's president of Carolina University of Theology. He travels extensively to Africa and Honduras and Israel, and he's probably traveled some other places I don't even know about. And he makes trips to Israel quite often and has personal contacts with Jewish Christians there. Dr. Payton can be heard on the radio on the Washington, D.C. area on WAVA. That's 780 a.m. on your dial on Mondays and Fridays. And he's committed to relationships being made whole by Christ Jesus. He's married, has been married to his beautiful wife, Marie, for over 46 years. And they have three grown children and six grandchildren. I know him personally because RCC, Reconciliation is lovingly known, was my first adult church, and my children went there, and it was a wonderful time of learning about Jesus Christ. In that, and a counselor, even before he was a pastor, he was a counselor, and he is still counseling. So, Pastor John, why do all couples have problems?
Well, because opposites attract and then attack. And we're human beings.
That's true.
And I have found that sometimes people have different behaviors, and you can be dating a person with one behavior and don't know they got two other personalities. And once you into the marriage, out comes this other person, and it's like, have anybody seen the person I was dating?
Wow, wow.
So what I do is I make you take a lot of tests. I require almost a year of pre-marriage counseling.
Yes.
And a lot of them don't want to go through it. They can go up the street, and Pastor Yo-Yo down the street will marry you. All you got to do is have two or three sessions. But then what happens is when the marriage comes apart, now you want to send it to me, and you want me to put together a scrambled egg.
Wow. But, you know, Pastor John, so many. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Marie and I have been together since the seventh grade. We are friends. We were friends. And we made this covenant relationship at a very young age. I don't even know what it is to be single, because I came right out the out of the high school, went into the military, married while I was in the military. So all I know is married. I don't have a clue what it is to be single. So it's a work in progress all the time. After 46 years, this is 47 this year. We still work at keeping the relationship strong.
Wow. Well, you would think the investment that people have to put in that oneness relationship, that they would have a value for preparing and equipping themselves to operate this invention, because you have half of Americans going down that aisle, making a death until we part commitment, and they're failing at that commitment. And the half that's actually staying together, half of them, this is their second time down the aisle. And so it's important, I think, that couples do make those kind of investments. But I think a lot of times as pastors, Pastor John, that they don't want to put that requirement out to couples to make a one-year commitment of preparations, because they maybe they don't think they can make it, you know, to the end of that year. But not realizing how much repair work needs to be done in the hearts of individuals to come together. Because as you were talking about, you know, you bring two imperfect people together, and when they are single, they are attracted to each other. But the thing that attracted them may get them inside their marriage, but inside their marriage, what's different is motivations for attacking. And so couples are left with these life-dominating problems, and the only place they've learned how to solve those problems is where they grew up, in their family unit, but many of them didn't learn the right lessons. So with this in mind, what is it are the important lessons that you think a husband and wife need to begin to master before they make that commitment? And for half of us, at least that are listening, those that are in the commitment, you know, what's the most important things, the lessons that we need to know to move towards protecting that oneness so that we can be standing like you when we get to year 46, still loving one another and being friends with one another?
Well, I think often we ask, what does God expect of me? And I remember something I learned from Moses that he learned. First of all, I have to fear him, not man. I have to follow God, not my heart. I have to love him, not the world. I have to serve him, not myself. And I have to obey him, not my feelings. So there must be a complete death to yourself. Now, it said something about most of my clients are pastors, bishops, apostles. When they're in here for therapy, some of them fly their planes in here. You're looking at them on television. They look so good. When I'm sitting here with them in counsel, I'd be thinking, who in the name of God is listening to these people? Because most of your divorces today, a lot of them are pastors. 1,700 pastors leaving the pulpit every month in America right now. They're walking away.
They
are leaving without their families. I tell you what I think is important. I want to know before a marriage gets started. I think the nationality needs to be known. I want to know the length of how long y'all been acquainted with each other. Has any one of you ever had previous engagements? Are you born again? I want you to explain to me your born-again experience. I don't want to hear I go to church.
Yes. Yes.
Are you filled with the Spirit? I want to know this. If you've been married before, I want to talk to your ex-wife or ex-husband. And usually they'll say, they're not going to talk to you. I haven't had one to not talk to me because when I call up an ex-husband and wife and I say, excuse me, I'm Dr. John Payton, before you hang up the phone, I just tested your ex-husband. And this is what my test said. And when I get through saying it, they say, I don't know how you know it, because I live with that rascal. You just described my ex 100%. What do you want to know? Because 86% of those who married the second time in this country divorce. So when I'm working with a couple that have never been married before, there's no children anywhere, we can get down to some real honest things like working on a budget, savings. Is the wife going to work after we have the child? We need to talk about this because we set the budget so it's under the man, because once that baby comes, that some women don't want to drop that child off at daycare 2 weeks after she
That's
has
true.
The baby.
Yeah, I know about that.
We need to, who's going to manage the money? What's our occupational plan? Do we need to buy a bunch of furniture? Can't we just take it one room at a time? We need to talk about who's going to get involved if we have a disagreement. For God's sake, don't let the family get involved, because parents always stand with their own child because they created that monster. And so there's always keep the parents out of it. That's why you want to go to a premarital counselor, because you can talk before marriage and after marriage you can talk. I have couples who still call me today and say, hey, pull out a folder. We're thinking about buying a car. I know it's been five years now. What do you think? You know, it's something like a life forever relationship where I'm still hearing from couples that I married 30 years ago. And we talk, marriage needs a little fine-tuning. That's why every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 for 28 years, I talk with the men. We have the women's meeting once a month. Once a month, we have marriage maintenance where all the couples come in together. We have a fun time together. We do our marriage retreats together every year. It's a work in progress, and you just can't take each other for granted.
Well, Pastor John, let's take a break right here, and let's come back and talk about why asking these questions are important. What is the product from all these questions being asked, and how do we use that product? I think I know the answer, but I think you can give a better delivery of what the answer is. Why do we need to ask all these questions? You know, what is it going to do for us? We'll be right back.
Now I don't want to lose the time that we have. When you really think about it, the good outweighs the bad. Let's stay together, make the wrong things right. If you lose your love, then I lose my love.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Well, Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you just tuned in, you're listening to a special edition of the Voice of Destiny show, Couples for Destiny. And I'm here with my co-host, Juanita Harris, and we are talking about the reality and the phenomenon that every couple have to face, and that is the phenomenon of challenges and problems. And we've been having a rich conversation with Pastor John Payton, the senior pastor of Reconciliation Community Church, and we have been understanding that there need to be questions asked before a husband and a wife entered into this tremendous venture called marriage. And I was asking you, Pastor John, well, what is the product? What is it that we're going to get out of asking these questions that are so important for us to protect the oneness or to nurture the oneness that God has given us as a husband or a wife?
Well, the product is that at the end, if we see something that needs to be corrected, when I give them the test, and sometimes I'll give them a test called the role concept comparison. Who should be the head of the house? Should the wife be employed outside of the home? Things like this. Money that the wife earned, is it her money? By the time we go down this, and I see there are disagreements here on almost 15 out of 20, we got something to work with. And we get through, some couples say, look, it ain't going to work. I'm not doing that. Because then we're talking about, because we're talking about your role. A man has a role, a woman has a role according to the Word of God. Let's find out if you're willing to live your role. I have couples who say to me, free marriage counselor, no, I'm not doing that. No, no, I'm not going to be no housewife. I'm not staying home with that baby. I'll give you one, but, and it's like, wow, I'm glad we're talking about this now. I'm glad this, 8 out of 10 women that I've counseled in 35 years have been molested. And now the men are beginning to talk to me. This needs to be on the floor. Early. Let's talk about this. We might need some therapy in this to get some healing in this before you walk down the aisle with this person only to find out they frigid. They got issues that never was discussed. Those questions are very important when we ask them about background. Sometimes I'm able to even pick up if a person has been molested because I'll ask them to draw a picture, and the picture says everything. I mean, it's amazing how I can make you do a picture, and in that picture I can tell what happened to the little child in you. And we need to talk about what is the 1, 3, 5-year plan. And then we need to talk about, do you have an idea of what your role is? Because your parents might not have been the best role model for you.
This is true.
And so we need to sit down and talk about, I give an example. Whenever my wife needs, I get it in 24 hours. Everybody says, oh, get out of here. No, my wife has been a homemaker for 46 years. If she says to me, the microwave oven is breaking, got a problem, I'm going to get a new microwave. Or I'm going to get it fixed. See, if mama not happy, nobody's going to be happy.
This is true. But, you know, I wanted to say that, you know, this is great, but a lot of men come into marriage not being men yet. They're still boys. And so that capacity to live up to the integrity of that that ideal becomes very challenging for them. How is it that, how can a man recognize his lack of maturity or rightness to be in that role, and what can he do about it? Because these are very mature things, being responsive to your wife, asking these questions. But I think a lot of times these dynamics don't take place where the right information is being asked, and we perish as a result of it because there's a lack of courage or maturity on behalf of those that are inside the marriage. So help walk us through, when I discover this about myself, what do I do to fix the problem? Because most people don't get the
marriage.
They're in the marriage.
He needs to go sit with an older man and commit himself to that older man. Period.
Wow.
And obey what he tells him to do to be a better man in his marriage. So he might have to give up some of his toys. He might hear things like, don't come home and sit down and watch television and go to sleep. He might need to be taught how to ask his wife how her day went. And sometimes share with her how your day went. And I'll give you an example. You very rarely even hear a pastor get up and give his testimony. Now, a church takes on the character of its leader. If he's not open and real and honest, men are going to think, I'm not telling nothing. He don't tell nothing. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to ask him nothing because he don't seem like he know what life is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was quick to give his testimony everywhere he went.
Wow.
My father was a very abusive man. At least twice a month, every day on payday, he used to beat my mother up. He never made a house payment in 30 years. We'd be running out the house while the bullets are going by our ear. And everybody asked me today, you mean you've been married 46 years, never cursed at my wife, never hit my wife. My children came home one day and asked us, when do you argue? We never hear you argue. I learned how to be a man from the Word of God. And it was from the Word of God that I learned. For instance, when you look at the scriptures, husband, Ephesians 5:25, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a big responsibility there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Wow.
And then because it says I'm to love her undeniably, unselfishly, unconditionally. She is my first responsibility next to God.
Wow.
And so if a man don't love himself, how are you going to love his wife?
Wow.
And then if he's not, he's the head. And if he's not willing to sit down and say, you know, I need help. I don't know how to do finances. I don't know how to do a budget. I've never seen that. I guess you're supposed to be nice to your wife on Valentine's Day. No. You should be nice to your wife all the time. As a matter of fact, it's your responsibility to build her up. That's why these women are going out getting jobs, because they can't get their self-esteem built up by their husbands because he's not saying things that she wants to say. You know, I give an example. I see these women every day. They leave home. They look ugly. They got all kinds of makeup in their face, their hair all rolled up. They looking bad. All the way to work, they are getting pretty. By the time they get to their job, they switch to all these nice-looking shoes. They looking good. Now, why are they looking good? Because somebody at that job is making her feel important.
Wow. Well, let's take a break.
That's why right now the highest divorce rate, the highest rate in adultery is among women in America today.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, let's talk about that. We're going to take a break right here, but let's talk about why that is with the in the culture of women today that they're walking away from their fidelity, and what can we husbands do about that? I know you said that we need to be nice to them, but this is something important that we need to begin to be aware of so that we can love and cherish and protect the oneness that God has given us as a husband and wife. We'll be right back.
And God loses love.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to a special edition of the Voice of Destiny show. Our guest today is Pastor John Payton. I'm the visionary and senior leader of Reconciliation Community Church, who's been laying down some wisdom to us about the oneness of our marriage, and us husbands, the trust and the responsibility that we have to love them and to care for them. And Pastor John, you would talk about one of the highest growing rates of adultery in America and the culture today is being conducted by women. And you were saying because they weren't effectively being loved. What can we husbands do about that?
Well, first of all, remember what you did to win her, you got to use to keep her. You was calling all the time. She couldn't get rid of you. You was making all kinds of calls all hours of the night just to talk to her. Now you don't talk to her. You don't say much. She's looking like, what happened? I know you can do it because you did it to win me. Why are you not doing it now? Well, I'm tired. You weren't tired when we talked on the phone to 2 and 3 in the morning before.
Wow. Wow.
Well, you're not what you used to be. What do you mean I'm not what I used to be? I had a child for you. My stomach went out. I'm trying to get it back in. Can you love me with a bigger stomach? You know, I don't go for the excuses. Women go through different changes. And we got to work with them and love them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I hold a man responsible. I really do.
Yeah.
And look, you can tell when something's going wrong. When a man starts talking to other women about his problem, he doesn't realize it. He's beginning to leave his wife, and he doesn't even realize it. He's home, but he's not home.
Wow.
Let me give you something important to say here, because she's supposed to be his best asset. She's supposed to be the answer to his prayer. She's supposed to be his partner. She's supposed to be Christ's. She's his asset. She's his companion, emotionally, physically, spiritually, parentally, intellectually, and ministry-wise. Mm-hmm. That's what she's supposed to be, that proverbial woman. Mm-hmm. Sometimes women change because you have changed.
Yeah.
Because you have now got caught up in your job. You got other people you can talk to now, and it's like you don't realize she's second. You come home, you don't even want to talk, but you talk to everybody else all day long. Mm. Well, I'm tired. I'm just tired, and when I get home, I don't feel like talking. Pull on the side of the road, take a nap so you can go home looking refreshed for her. She's been waiting all day for you, and you're going to come in and just fall asleep, and when a woman starts feeling unappreciated, she finds somebody else to start talking to. And that's how the Jehovah Witnesses get up in your house, because they find those silly Latin women wanting somebody to talk to, and the Jehovah Witnesses have the highest divorce rate of any religion.
Mm. Wow. The wisdom is worthy of her children, and I know that this wisdom you've been laying on us is going to really help us to reposition ourselves and our oneness to make our marriages healthier. I want to pick up on our next show, Pastor John, and talk about the power tools for repairing and bringing healing to the marriage. And we have 1 minute left. Will you take some time out to tell us a little bit about your work in Virginia? And I know you guys have a scholarship project that you wanted our friends and our partners to know about that I think will be very important if we can do that. And then we'll pick up the conversation in our next segment, because I really believe this road that we're on in bringing couples to oneness and healing in their marriage is really important to God, and it's really going to be a blessing to so many. But go ahead and take some time and let us know about RCC's vision and scholarship project so that the families that are listening to the show can take advantage of it.
Okay, we're giving away $5,000 scholarships to young people between 17 and 25. That's $25 million worth of scholarships. You can go online, rcc77.org, and get the application. And we're also giving away five brand-new 2014 automobiles, and we're also having Donna McKirkin, Mercy Me, Salvador's in concert. It's all day long on the Monument Grounds in D.C. on July the 12th. Everything free. When we met with the government, they said, we can't believe this. Christians don't usually come and give away nothing. They're always out trying to get something. And I told them, we are doing this so that people can see the difference between a straight stick and a crooked stick.
Wow. Wow. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. So if you guys are in the nation's capital, mark your calendars. And those that want to travel in July, this great event is going to be there to be a blessing to you. And your young people can go to RCC's website to get information about these scholarships. And I want to thank you, Pastor John, for staying with us, because you have so much wisdom. I want to give our partners and our listeners the benefit of this. And I want to thank you for on spending that time with us. We're going to post the information that you just shared with us on our website so that our friends and our partners can take advantage of it. And I thank you again. Brothers and sisters, remember today is a great day because this is the day the Lord has made for you. What God has put together, the scripture says, let no man put asunder, because it is God's desire that we as husbands and wives and kingdom citizens will walk in the oneness that he's gifted us with in our marriages. God bless you. We'll see you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
And welcome, brothers and sisters, to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hobbs. Our vision here is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that you can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. Jesus had a wisdom directing us to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything that we have need of will be added to us. And so we want to take this principle in mind and invite you back into our conversation concerning oneness in marriage. This is a special segment of Voice of Destiny, Couples for Destiny, and my co-host today is Juanita Harris, a life coach and counselor that's based in Springfield, Ohio, and we've been having this incredible conversation with Pastor John Payton, the senior pastor of a Reconciliation Community Church that is based in Manassas, Virginia, in the Washington, D.C. area, and we've been talking about, you know, why is it that every marriage, a young marriage, a new marriage, an old marriage, why is it that even strong marriages have to deal with the issue of problems, that problems seem to be an unavoidable intersection of reality in the life of a couple, because there are matters and situations that we regard as unwelcome or harmful or needing to be dealt with or overcome that find their way of manifesting in our marriage life, even though we love Jesus and even though we love one another. And God does not want us to be fearful about this reality, because in this world, Jesus said, we're going to have tribulations, but the Lord has made a way for us to face down these challenges and these difficulties and these problems in a way that will make us stronger and not make us weaker. And so, we've been looking into this, and we've had some incredible conversations with couples that have been passing on some wisdom to us, but Pastor John has really helped us to get a window into God's wisdom about how we as individuals, a husband and a wife, are to look at these matters and to face them down with God's wisdom and God's grace. And Pastor John, we were talking on the last show about this big responsibility that men have towards their wives in this union. Is there some wisdom that you want to pass on to our women folk to let them know what is some very important things women need to know about men, especially men that are in this culture, in this generation, that they need to be armed with in order to be the kind of helpmeet and partner that God has called them to be in their union?
Well, men are very sensitive. And Matthew 12:20 says, a bruised reed shall not break, and smoking flax shall not quench, till it sends forth judgment unto victory. Men are very sensitive. Do you realize that in my office, most of the crime done in my office are men?
Wow.
When I have a man alone, very seldom does that man not break down and cry. Who do a man go to talk to? He talked to a wrong woman, he's in trouble. Sometimes he needs a wife he can sit down and just tell what he's going through, what he's feeling, what's hurting him. And he doesn't need a critic. He just needs somebody to talk to. Mm-hmm. So men are sensitive. Men need to be nurtured also. Nurture him.
Wow.
Make him feel good, not just for Father's Day. Say, hey, I'm glad you're home. We look forward to you.
But that image, treat him with dignity. That image of men, that what you just said, which is facts. I know from my own counseling experience with men coming into my office, but I also understand it doesn't mesh with the cultural image of men that we're strong, you know, we're masculine. Men don't cry, you know. And so when a man is finding himself in this place, a woman may not know that that is something that she's supposed to do, because men are supposed to be strong. How does a wife and a marriage? How do you face that dichotomy, that difference? You know, that that opposite reality, because you know people think men don't cry, and I think what you said about men being sensitive is really true, because we really look to our wives to edify us through that process of them honoring us. So you know. So now that she knows that, you know, what should a wife do to address that sensitivity of a man and his need to be honored and esteemed?
Make him feel like you can come home and tell me anything. You can make me, I'll hear, talk to me. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Who's bothering you? Who's at the office mm-hmm. want to talk to you? As a matter of fact, who even ministers to the pastor? Mm. They are full of tears. You just don't see it.
Yeah.
They have deep pains. Men have pain. Yes, I cry. I've been crying ever since I got saved. I spent my life with dark glasses on looking cool. I'm glad the night Jesus came into my heart, he broke my heart, and I've been weeping ever since.
Mm.
So, yes, men cry. We're sensitive. We're hurt. We're in pain. We need to be nurtured. We need to be treated with dignity and respect. Because why?
Wow.
We keep coming home. We keep paying the bills. We're doing our best. Sometimes we're against odds you don't know about. But give me some dignity and respect. Stop looking at these soap operas and taking it out on me when I come home. I didn't do it.
Wow.
And then there's got to be patient. Be patient. Sometimes, you know, you don't understand. We got so much weight on us, especially when you're young and married and you're trying so hard to put yourself in a position to make sure your family can be taken care of. Be patient. Don't go ask your parents what you should do. They already been married. Talk to somebody like you who's going through. And learn to walk together with couples your own age and learn to be patient. In other words, just because Jack and Sue got a new car and we don't, wait. You don't know what they're doing to get that car. You don't know what kind of debt they have put on themselves. Financial debt will destroy a marriage. It takes time.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to suffer long sometimes. When my wife and I got married, we furnished one room at a time. My mother-in-law and father-in-law came over and said, look, here's a check. You can write it for $30,000. I said, I don't want your money. We're going to make it together. We're going to learn to appreciate every stitch of furniture that comes in this house. And I thank God I didn't take that check, because we've learned to walk together. Back in the 60s, remember the song, I may not have a cent to pay the rent, but we're going to make it.
Wow.
And that's what it's all about, making it together as a team. And that's what's missing. Teamwork is no longer there. We done team with everybody on our job, team with everybody in the church, and forgot the teamwork at home.
Wow.
And then you got to have an attitude of forbearance. Forbearance to put up with the other person and not be full of grudgery. Forbear one another. Don't allow yourself to bring up what happened yesterday. If you say, you're sorry, we forgave each other, don't bring that up. Forbear. We might have difference, but that's okay. We might differ, but we don't have to be indifferent to each other. And we've got to learn to love one another and realize this. Next to God, you're the best friend I got. So you know what? If we have to downsize, keep our love and family strong, we'll do it. Because going down sometimes keeps us going up.
understanding these dynamics in the context of marriage, it helps a husband and wife being on with this information to embrace the challenges of marriage, the crises of a marriage, as an opportunity. And I'm talking about an opportunity to be more of what God has designed for us to be through that process of us relating to Him in the context of a situation, but loving one another. I mean, it is a process. And these difficulties, it's been my experience in the 26 years I've been married, if we have faith towards God, we can see God using this as an opportunity. Even though many times He didn't cause those difficulties, but He'll use it to bring us into a maturity of what He wants us to be. We'll be right back.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com.
And your youth
will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in
Destiny. The Voice of Destiny show, Couples for Destiny, to help you to understand how God has made available to you through the resources of His grace and His word, the power to be, do, and have what He's destined for you in your redemptive relationship.
Well, first of all, I think it's important for you to have premarriage counseling because you want to know what are you getting ready to get involved with. When two people are dating, they're actors and actresses. I want to check the family background. I want to know what his parents are like. I might even want to talk to the grandparents if they're around, because the apple don't fall far from the tree. I also want to know, what do we have in common here? We talk the Christian jargon, but why is half of the Christians divorcing? And they're coming to me. I give them my test that I devised for my doctorate degree. And I look at them and I say, who married you to? And then I tell them what the test tells me they're going to do, being married to each other. I'm in the 90th percentile. It is so bad. I have a 3-month waiting list. I had to go and meet all the pastors in the area and tell them, you got to stop this 6 little counseling session. We got to make a commitment of at least 6 to 7 months. Y'all keep sending me these scrambled eggs, and it's hard to put it back together. So I think premarital counseling is just to see what we're dealing with. Other cultures do it. I noticed when I lived in Israel, all the families are involved in the history of that other person. The Muslims do it. Every religion does it. We're the only ones that say, well, as long as they say they love Jesus, that's enough. No.
Wow.
I'm doing background check. Wow. I require a complete physical. Let me know if I'm going in to deal with AIDS or herpes. I need to know that before I get into this.
Yeah. I need to know
if there's other children out there. Put this on the table. I don't want to marry you, and then 2 days later, your 3 children show up.
Wow.
I want to know, what is it that really makes you happy? Let's put that on the table. And let's don't have no hidden secrets now. Let's get it all on the table now. And so premarital counseling is to get out the truth. And some people can't handle the truth. Mm. And so I've had more couples to get up and say, thank you. We've sat down and talked about some things you've been talking to us about, and we realize we're not called to be married to each other.
Wow.
And we got a lot of unequally. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that one of the trends in health today is preventive health. And so my question would be, I totally understand the need to build the foundation before the marriage, but so many times people get inside of marriage and there was no foundation. Do you recommend that a couple have post-marriage counseling, and how often should they do it? I mean, once a year I get a physical, at least once a year, to make sure there is nothing that I've overlooked. But in the context of a marriage, should a couple have a post-marriage counseling process, like we do for our
bodies? All my couples come back 90 days later.
Mm.
Okay? And we go over mm-hmm. the plan. We have a plan. We stick to the plan, everything, including having children. Everything is laid out. We talk mm-hmm. about the plan. Then we talk about what happens if we don't carry out the plan. Like, I have couples tell me, well, we're going to wait 2 years before we have the first child. I always tell them, I don't think so. And then all of a sudden, here's a child. And we talk about, okay, all right, we just made some adjustments. How's mm-hmm. the budget? Are you ready for it? Let's get ready for it. And so that she can stay home if she wants to stay home. It's her right if she wants to stay home and raise her child. But don't put her mm-hmm. in a position where she feels so guilty that she's got to have the baby and go back to work mm-hmm. in 2 weeks. I tell you, she's going to resent you for making her do it.
Yeah.
She'll do it, but she'll resent you. And so the pre-marriage counseling is very important. I've had so many couples that sit up and just start arguing about something that came up on the desk. And it's like, wow, I'm glad you're arguing now. But let's say we end the marriage. I take them back to step one. I say, y'all evidently wasn't given the proper pre-marriage counseling. So I go over with each of them a paper that I've written called The Role of a Husband, Biblical Role, The Biblical Role of a Wife. And we go over it till both of them understand what is their role according to the Word of God. And then we start walking it. A lot of people don't know what their role is. A lot of women do not know what their role is as a biblical woman. Now, they know what their role is because what their mama taught them. But that don't mean mama was always right. Oh, you ain't got to listen to him, child. And you don't let no man tell you what to do. See, mama wants you to be messed up like she messed up.
Wow.
Wives, obey your husbands in the Lord, the Word of God. And why would a husband do anything that would hurt his wife? So I have to sit down and really, honestly, like discipleship. That's why we have a 97% participation in our church. I have to walk them through their role. And once you walk through the role long enough, you start living that role. Most people don't know what their role is according to the Bible.
Well, let's take a break here, Pastor John. Let's take a break here and let's talk about what those roles are, because I got to tell you that, you know, my background is that my grandfather, by the time he died when he was 88 years old, it was reported that he had been married legally 10 times. My parents were married for 28 years, and after my dad came out of the military, they didn't have, I guess, the insight of what it took for them to keep on with their marriage. And so I came into that union, and I got to tell you, had I not got a biblical knowledge about what a husband and a wife, what a man and a woman was, I wouldn't have been fit for marriage. In fact, I wasn't even seeking marriage because I thought, based on my family experience, marriage is good, but it's not necessary. So help us, you know, when we come back from this break, to understand what these roles are, and the biblical model of them, because we have all kind of cultural models. The culture is confused about what marriage is and what a husband and a wife is, and I want you to set the record straight. We'll be right back.
Now, I don't want to lose the time that we have. When you really think about it,
okay,
should
welcome back,
I wait?
We've been talking about the problem-solving wisdom for the oneness of marriage. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about, Pastor John, was the issue of identity. Husbands and wives coming into a oneness relationship often doesn't know what the biblical role of a man or a woman is, or a husband and a wife. And I wanted to ask you if you could take some time out to lay that down to us so that we can understand what they are and how to walk in them.
The godly wife The Bible says in Genesis 3:16, Ephesians 5:24, Colossians 3:18, 1 Peter 3:1, is the wife is to submit to her husband in all things,
mm-hmm.
and to understand their responsibility as women. Genesis 3:16, bear children. Ephesians 5:33, to reverence her husband, of showing respect. Titus 2:4, learn to love him. Learn to be discreet. Keep your personal purity. Keep your home. Be good towards yourself and your marriage. Learn to be meek. Learn to be quiet. Meek, 1 Peter 3:4. Quiet, 1 Timothy 2:11-12. Can't keep running off at the mouth. Sometimes just need to be quiet. Develop your inner person, 1 Peter 3:4. Admit to yourself you are a weaker vessel, 1 Peter 3:7. Some women have a problem with that, but every salesman comes to the house to sell a wife because he knows if he gets her, it's going to be a mess in that house because he's in trouble if he don't buy that vacuum cleaner. A woman needs to know, don't be afraid. God is your helper, 1 Peter 3:6. And don't defraud him by taking away his intimate relationship with you. Be submissive and desire him. 1 Corinthians 7, 3, 5, 3:16. Treat him with kindness. Desire his well-being. 1 Corinthians 7:3. This is it. That's just some of them that I have. And that's just for the woman. All right? Now, for the man.
John, that's the job. Before you do that, let me ask you this. And I'm sure you've had, because I know from personal experience, When you're talking to women about submitting to their husband and what submission looks like in the world and what submission means in the word are different. So would you clarify what submission
looks
like?
When I talk about submitting to the husband, I'm talking about follow his leadership. Follow his leadership. Okay. Submit to him. Don't argue. Don't tear him down. I mean, when I woke my wife up in 1974 and said, God just told me to get up. We're going to go to Colorado. We got to leave Virginia in 24 hours. We got to go. My wife's thing was, go get the boxes. We're leaving. If God told you to go, we're leaving.
Mm.
Okay.
I didn't have no my mother-in-law stood on the porch and said, that rascal crazy going to take my daughter and grandchildren away. But see, that's because we got some women will not follow their husbands and want to teach that continually to generation. Submit means if this man is following God, he's listening to God, he's spending time with God, and he said God has told him to do something, follow him, submit to him. I'm not talking about be a slave, let him run all over you. That, you wouldn't want to do that anyway if you're doing it in Christ's manner.
Yeah.
But I've learned something. The more I love my wife, the more she loves me back.
Amen.
So is this does this rule apply to women who have husbands that are godly, that are hearing from God? Because some women are married to men who don't know the voice of God. And so how would a submission, is it just an issue of respect, or is it obedience? Is that the submission and obedience mean the same thing from a biblical context? Because women want to know this, because every woman is not married to a godly man that's hearing from God.
Dr. Hopp, let me just say this. My unsaved couples are doing better than the saved ones.
Isn't the truth? It's the truth, isn't it?
I give them biblical assignments and tell them to go home and try it out. They come back and say, oh, that was awesome. And I say, it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
You joking. That's in the Bible. Yeah. You tell it to the Christian guy.
Yeah.
You know, we all got our own opinion. We all got our own Bible. Some people just ain't going to do right. I don't care what you give them.
You're right.
Let me tell you the role of the godly husband. Okay?
Okay.
All right? Ephesians 5, love your wife. No one understands what love is. And love her is to meet her needs. Love your wife. Meet her needs. Okay? And make sure your love is full of patience. Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians. Don't be quick-tempered. Don't be so easily irritated. Fully accept her as she is. Recognize her needs and contribute to her life. Don't be possessive. Don't be anxious to impress. Don't try to have self-centeredness. I never seen so many self-centered men in my life. Somebody messed them up as children. It's about giving. Have some good manners. You know, don't be touchy. Let her hug you. Hold her hand. Going through the mall. Keep her close to you. And don't be afraid to let that cell phone sit anywhere, because you shouldn't be talking to anybody that your wife don't know about.
Wow.
Don't keep a record of evils, of mistakes she made, or she went and brought something and I didn't tell her, okay, sorry, let it go. Don't seek self-justification. God's love is long-suffering. God's love has no end to trust. God's love has no fading hope. God's love has unlimited endurance. Like, I have men who come in and they find out that their wife was molested as a child and never was told. She's still in pain. We need patience as we work through this. And sometimes we have to confront the person who did this and get her healed. This is very important. Sometimes we have to minister to our wives and love them. That's why I say in 24 hours, I do what my wife needs done. Because she's a homemaker. Something breaks down. You sit there, I'm going to get to it. You know what I tell a wife to do? Call somebody, have them come do it, and give him the bill.
Wow. Well, I think these models, understanding what these models are, is very important. And it makes me value God's house more, you know, more than anything else in this culture, because where does a man or a woman go to learn these things from after they've seen it in God's word? Where do they go to see these things practiced except in God's house, where there is even a standard to live up to these precepts of God concerning manhood and womanhood? And I don't think a woman has a problem submitting to a man that's loving her. And I don't think a man has a problem of honoring a woman that esteems and respects him. But when we begin to see these principles from God's word and get the wisdom, Pastor John, how to walk in them, it really helps us to protect this gift that God's given us in oneness. And I want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for tuning in again. Pastor John, your wisdom has been incredible. I want to remind our listeners how to visit your website to find out about the scholarship program, because this wisdom that you passed on to us is really going to help a lot of couples to resolve the difficulties that they've been faced with in their union. And I just think the wisdom that you have laid through your years and your decades of effective counseling and modeling the oneness of a husband and wife from a biblical perspective has helped so many couples. It's been an inspiration to me and my wife. I don't know that you know that me and my wife, we have watched you and your wife as ministry guests, looking at, well, how do you guys relate and walk in the oneness of your marriage? But I've been a student without you even knowing, and I want to thank you for passing that wisdom on to us. But if you can let us know how to connect at RCC to find out about your event on the mall in July and about the scholarship, I think that would be really, really valuable. And then we want to thank our listeners for tuning in again with us today. Thank you.
Okay. First of all, my wife wrote a book entitled How to Be a Pastor's Wife Without Going to Hell. Very good book.
Wow.
It tells it like
wow.
It is. Secondly, we've given away $25 million in scholarships. 5,000 young people will get a $5,000 scholarship. Go online, get the application, rcc77.org. If you're between the age of 17, 25, you got to move quickly, because the applications are coming in, and we're going to stop at 5,000. But if you need scholarship, you're in college, going to college, go online, rcc77.org, and we're giving away 5 2014 automobiles. Get online, students.
Wow.
You might be the one God wants to bless.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you again, Pastor John and Juanita Harris, for coming and sharing these Kingdom Culture wisdom with us. Brothers and sisters, remember, today is a great day, because this is the day the Lord has absolutely made for you. Have a great one.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, Kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. and become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor John. That was incredible. I know a lot of couples
Daniel,
are going to get some
Daniel, what is email address? I'm going to shoot you the godly husband and the godly wife.
Okay, it's Dr. Hoff. You have sent it to him, Anita?
Yeah, Pastor.
You have it, Anita?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Anita will send it to you, but it's drhopped@voiceofdestiny.org. But Anita will email
okay,
it to you, so you'll have it.
I mean, you have the godly husband and godly wife, Anita?
I'm sorry?
Do you have
say
my paper
again?
On the godly and the godly husband?
No, I don't have that.
Send me his email address. I'll send it from my Dropbox, and you can have
praise
it because
God.
Some people are going to call in. I enjoyed
yeah,
it. It
absolutely.
Was fun. And I hit it the way I am looking at it every day in my office, and I'm seeing
wow.
couples being reconciled, Daniel. They It
mm-hmm.
can be worked out if I can get
yeah.
them to recognize they have not been taught what they should have been taught.
Yeah, well, a lot of them, just the paradigm. I know when I ended it, I remember that period when me and Millie got married. We bought our first house, and then Millie had Daniel, and then she was talking about wanting to stay home full time. Pastor John, only women I ever saw staying at home when I was growing up were women that were on welfare. All the women in my life had worked, and I didn't realize, you know, and the women that were in my church, you know, my pastors were co-pastors. All I saw was women. I didn't understand that was a responsibility. That a husband
yep.
had in the context of a marriage. And so a lot of these young men, especially, you know, like I told my mother, she had, you know, it was eight of us, five girls and three boys. And a lot of times the women of a generation, they raised their sons to be the wives and the daughters to be the husband. They would tell that woman, look, that girl, you better go out and make a living. You can't depend on no man. And then on the other breath, she'd tell the baby, oh, her sons, look, just don't go to jail. Don't do drugs, baby. I'll give you anything you want. I'll take care of you. And these mixed messages created a culture of men that were being trained to be the wives and instead of the wives to be the husband. And I think our listeners having to hear these truths in Scripture, from Scripture, about what these models are, is like so essential because in our culture, I think it's lost in the translation that they just don't know. So I thank you for taking the time out to impart that. And you know, pastors, if they don't understand the application of the biblical models, they're not going to preach it, and they're not going to live it. And if they're not living it and preaching it, you know what's happening in the congregation.
Daniel, watch the wife of the pastor when he's preaching. And that'll tell you everything, okay? Because you'd be surprised how many pastors don't live nothing at home. I see so many pastors' kids in jail, and they tell me, huh, yeah, I'm here, because he ain't nothing. He's just faking it every Sunday. And
wow.
I got pastors calling me on Saturday nights asking me to text them a sermon. God has fired them. Half of the preachers in America are not even. You know how you in our church, how you can become a preacher, just do a trial sermon.
Yep.
You in.
Well, you even got to do that these days. You can just go online.
I had a guy became a doctor 1 week. He was a bishop the next week. I said, what you going to do next, an archbishop and be a pope? Man, what you doing? But they come in here, man, and I mean, and their wives come in here, and I'm telling you, I see everything but the furniture being thrown because there's a lot of hurt, and they have nowhere to go. Pastors don't have nowhere to go with their pain but to the bar. Like
true.
A lot of guys tell me in the jail, they supply a lot of pastors their crack. A lot of your pastors in America are on crack, homie.
Well, you got to come back. You have to come back on our regular show so we can talk about this. One of the things we do on Voice of Destiny is talk about the cultural issues inside the kingdom. And this, what you're talking about, Pastor John, that's the way of life for some of these pastors. That's all they know. There was a fellow that I knew that when I first met him, he said, you know, he was really shocked and transformed by the teachings at our church, because when he was growing up, you know, he had said, when I grow up, I'm going to be just like my father, and I'm going to be like our pastor and our teachers in the church. I'm going to marry my wife, and I'm going to have one girlfriend, and I'm not going to cheat on them. I'm going to be faithful to them, and that's the way life's going to be for me, because that's what he saw. He didn't know about the fidelity and the responsibility of love that a man was supposed to have inside of a marriage. And when they don't know, they should know, but I don't know how they don't know. But a lot of times in their mind, somewhere in their mind, the idea, God's standard, his precept about what a husband is supposed to be to a wife, it got lost, and they have nothing to hold on to. So when they come into your office, Pastor John, and you introduce this way of God to them, how do they explain the difference between the way God has outlined they should live their life and the way they have been living? Do they, many of them say that they didn't realize, or they recognize and they chose to violate God's law anyhow? How does that work out for them in that
case? Some of them start crying. Some of them start crying because I had no clue. They had no clue at all. It's like this man came in my office, and he had his little child sitting outside. He was about 5. And I said, could I talk with your child? He said, oh, my little son ain't going to talk to you. He's very shy. I said, oh, really? Mm. I said, just let him come in for a minute. 20 minutes later, the little boy comes out, and the father looks at me. He said, I can't believe that. What did y'all talk about? I said, oh, he was telling me about that crack you got in your glove compartment. That man fell to the floor. And the little boy didn't say crack. He just described this powder that his daddy takes and snuff up his nose.
Wow.
And sometimes people come in here and they cry because they had no clue that I was supposed to submit to my husband. And I'm only doing what my mama did to my father.
Wow.
We need these. Well, yeah. When you read this, you'll understand. We need to know the script. Yeah. I am operating from the script, the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a real problem because my wife wasn't saved the first 7 years of our marriage.
Wow.
She was a good girl, but she wasn't saved. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, you can't win the world till you win her. It took 7 years before my wife finally gave her life to Christ. And she will tell you to this day, it was my mannerism that won her to Christ.
Wow.
How I carried myself, my discipline and study, my standing strong for the things of God.
Mm.
When you don't see wives submitting to their husbands because they're seeing two sides of him.
Mm.
He has a church side, and he got another home side.
Wow. Now, what do you think
I got one of the wives.
What do you think the cause
look,
of that,
you know,
dual life of a man of God? Because I know when I came into leadership or ministry, my whole life was captured. But I craved to live up to God's standards and patterns for my life. How does someone be comfortable living that double life? I mean, I imagine some people would, but so many, when it's so many of them, how does that happen?
They mask in drugs and liquor, laughing, going to conferences, conventions, hitting each other on the back. You know, it's like this, I got a big church down the street, the largest Baptist church down the street, and the musician makes $90,000 a year, and he brings in Richard Smallwood and other homosexuals and have built that church up through his choirs. And people come to the singing. The pastor ain't even a good preacher. But it's like the head musician told me the other day. He said, you know, Pastor Peyton, he said, I deeply respect you. You for real. He said, but my pastor?
Wow.
He said, this is the way it runs. I can have my men because he has his women. And that's the deal. Juanita, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Mm, that's That's sad.
That's the way a lot of our churches run. And see, that pastor had a girl pregnant in the church. They sent her to North Carolina. They sent her money every month to stay away so he can keep going and pay this note. And see, when you see this kind of game, and I saw that growing up when as a young child, I used to tell my mother, look, Mama, if Christianity is real, you're the only one going to heaven because everybody else going to hell with me.
Wow.
Mama, they had to they party, got the choir robes in the trunk. I thought Christianity was a joke. I really did. Mm. I really, really, I thought this is, because I never heard the gospel. We never did no missions. Everybody drank liquor up in there. So, as a matter of fact, when I came home saved with the Spirit of God, my pastor told my wife I was too serious about God. But guess what? But Daniel, check this out. When he was dying, they had to shut intensive care down. He was cursing so bad. And at his funeral, when they took him to the graveyard, his wife got out the car and walked to the parsonage and said it was the happiest day in her life because he had been beating her for years.
Wow.
See, I put my trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. I don't trust man.
Wow.
Amen. Well,
that's why I told my wife when Juanita Bynum got married, I told my wife, I said, Marie, she just killed her ministry. He's a hitter. He's been married. He's got children. Mm-hmm. All them brothers that walked her down the aisle on that $1 million wedding, why didn't one of them go and talk to that man's wife, his ex-wife? And now look at what has happened to Juanita Bynum. She finished. Killed her ministry. And look, they talk about this at the barbershop. They said, we don't understand, Pastor Payton. This is supposed to be a preacher. He leaves one wife. He marries this other woman. He beats her up in the parking lot. They divorce on television. He's remarried. Why do I need to get into Christianity if these people don't fear God?
Well, I think that's one of the most important. I'm sorry, go ahead. I think marriage is like,
do you even reverence your own God? Why they want to come and be with you?
Yeah.
We don't. When I grew up, Ned the city drunk, when he walked past the church, he stood straight. Now the drunk is in the church, and he's standing in the pulpit. He's a functioning alcoholic.
Okay.
Wow.
So I don't know. I just got back from South Carolina, Juanita, you know, I went to the funeral of Don Gather's brother, and I went to Georgetown, South Carolina, 8-hour trip. I felt like I stepped back 100 years in this church. Women were not allowed to be in the podium, on the pulpit.
Wow.
They had to speak down on the floor. One of the pastors up there on the pulpit is the one that got Don back on crack. And I'm sitting there looking. They put up this 23-year-old pastor. He just took on this church, and he's a whooper, right? And I'm telling you, that boy was 320 pounds. And I was sitting there thinking, Lord, I hope he don't have a heart attack. Because he was huffing. And when I left, he had three plates of food going to his office. And Marvin said his wife tried to stab him to death. He's just 23 years old.
Okay.
Wow.
How are we gonna get vision finished with this kind of dysfunctional army?
Wow.
So what I do, then, I try to work hard to keep my families together. I got a lot of young families in here. I do a lot of things to make sure that they live that role. And when they don't, I will call them in. Say, brother, why are you not having sex with your wife? Is there something you need to tell me? You got to confront.
I want you to pray for my son. He's at Langley Air Force Base, and I'm praying that he's fine. Really, Hampton, right? It's close. You from Hampton?
I tell that boy you better stay off Rip Rap Road. That's my street.
Okay. Well, we're coming down. My dad's 90th birthday is coming up, and in May, and isn't that something? And so
where's your dad at?
He's in Washington. He's in Maryland. He's in Capitol Heights, Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in Capitol Heights.
Oh, man, that's my son-in-law is in the Air Force.
Yeah, well, hey, having to reach out to him, Michael is, I mean, he's the first kid that we've sent out of the house. We raised him to be godly. But I know he had been going to, like, the chapel on the military base, and I'm just trusting God that the Lord speaks to him about finding a local church nearby. If you have any good recommendations, please.
So send me your information. I have a pastor to get that boy a call so quick. I got some good brothers down there, man.
Okay, thank you,
man. Right off the base, less than a mile. We got some really good churches.
So, Anita, make sure you send Pastor John my information because I'm really looking forward. But I want to ask you to pray for him because he's in your neighborhood. And if he's from your hometown, I definitely want to begin to have some salt sprinkled on his His name is Michael Hopp, and he's on Langley. He's stationed on Langley Air Force Base. He's at a place right now where they're now allowing him to leave base, you know, because it's a security base, you know.
Well, I know, man. I used to trust him with a gun for NASA is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was a security guard for NASA for 4 years. One night I thought I was on the moon.
Wow.
I got in one of those chambers and hit the button.
I thought I was on the moon. Yeah, I call him 007 because he won't tell us no real details about what he does, and which is so funny because he can't really tell us any real details about what he does. But you know,
my son-in-law. Yeah. No, I can't tell you. My son-in-law is CSI. Mm-hmm. Out of 20,000 that applied,
okay,
he was one of 2,000, and he deals with some deep stuff. As a matter of fact, and his best man at the wedding was at my home last Saturday. They going to some training. And I was sitting there joking around. I said, did you see how John Boehner looked at Obama during his speech? And the boy sitting there said, Pastor Peyton, I'm on Air Force One. And he said, Obama and John Boehner high-five each other on the plane all the time. He said, Boehner does that to get those Tea Parties money. They all in it together. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, my God.
Yeah, I know that. I know that for sure.
See, that's
I
tell you, that man, they see some stuff, man.
My God.
The public is so lost on what's really going on.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's amazing. We don't know. No. We're just pawns. We're pawns. That's all. We're just little pawns down here.
Yep.
Oh, man, I'm a
But we're running out of time. The studio is about to close down, so I'm going to have to say good night. But, Pastor John, I want to stay connected with you
and
the work that you're doing.
And your own studio and your own radio station. How would you like that?
I would love that.
Oh, really? Then I dare you to put a proposal together and send it to me.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. Praise God. I would definitely. Tell me. Give me the address. Where do I send it? Where's the email? I'm serious.
F-O-R-A. Pastor John. P-A-S-T-O-R-A. @gmail.com. For Pastor John @gmail.com.
Okay, give me 1 second. I need to go to that's F-R?
No,
F-O-R.
Say that again. F-O-R. F-O-R. Pastor John. For Pastor John.
Pastor John. @gmail.com.
@gmail.com. All right. I'll send it
outside
to you.
Outside the box. Okay.
Okay, I will.
All right. All righty. I love y'all. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Anita,
keep walking in the vision. Good night.
Thank
God bless everybody. I'll talk to you Thursday, Anita. God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.